I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. President Trump fired his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, yesterday using a tweet. Steve Goldstein, a spokesman for the Secretary of State, said that Tillerson had every intention of staying on, hadn't spoken to the president, and didn't know the reason for his ouster. And then he was fired for contradicting the administration's account of Tillerson's dismissal. Tillerson said goodbye and thanked staff at the State Department in a brief statement yesterday, but did not mention or thank President Trump, although he did speak with him later on Tuesday. Speaking outside the White House, Trump gave his reasons for firing Tillerson and his reasons for hiring CIA Director Mike Pompeo to run the State Department.
We got along actually quite well, but we disagreed on things. When you look at the Iran deal, I think it's terrible. I guess it was okay. I wanted to either break it or do something, and he felt a little bit differently. So we were not really thinking the same. With Mike Pompeo, we have a very similar thought process. I think it's going to go very well.
We asked Emily Tamkin to join us, and she is staff writer at Foreign Policy. Emily, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'm just stuck with the idea that the country's top diplomat was fired with a tweet. Was the president trying to humiliate him?
That's a very good question. The answer is possibly yes, but I think more than that, he was continuing to communicate the way that he feels is effective in sort of perfecting his brand with his base, right? That's clearly not how Tillerson has been used to doing business prior to the State Department, and based on what he said, it has proved sort of a challenge of being in the role of how do you include tweets in diplomacy? And yesterday it was how do you include tweets in your own termination?
Apparently, Chief of Staff Kelly had intimated to Tillerson that something might be coming. I realize we're kind of in this gray area here. But what do you make of the timing of this firing? Tillerson came back, was on his way back or had just come back from a trip to Africa.
Mm-hmm. The timing is surprising for a couple of reasons to me. The first is that we've been hearing these rumors for, almost a year now, or at least for months. And I think some people, I spoke to one European diplomat yesterday who said this just shows that it's important to pay attention to the rumors in Washington, because this sort of was on the back burner for a while. This, he's going to be fired, he's going to be fired, he's going to be fired. Went away for a while, and then, lo, there it was. The second reason it was surprising is that it came the day after Tillerson spoke out against Russia for the alleged murder attempt on Sergei Skripal, the former Russian, former British spy in Salisbury. And if that, if he indeed, as the White House said, had already fired Tillerson, then my question would be, and as another European diplomat pointed out, my question would be, why would you time it such that it looks like you were firing him for being hard on Russia when you're already under investigation for potential ties to Russia?
Do you think there was deep thinking that went into this, or do you feel like it was more spontaneous?
I think it was deep thinking followed by spontaneity, if that makes sense. Right.
Sure.
Again, this wasn't like it wasn't a complete surprise in that it wasn't that nobody had ever spoken about Tillerson leaving the State Department. There have been rumors of this for months. But I think the final decision may have not been so thought out for a number of reasons. Right. One, because of the Skripal comments. Two, because you do now have these talks with North Korea apparently coming up, and not that Tillerson had been a part of that decision or that the State Department had been a part of that process, but certainly this does complicate things to have a new Secretary of State.
He has chosen Mike Pompeo to be his new Secretary of State, and presidents get to pick who's part of their cabinet. I mean, that certainly is their choice. Was it that they just see more eye to eye on certain issues? I know Iran is one of the issues where there is more consensus between those two. But was it an issue thing or a personality thing or a policy thing or the fact that last summer that Rex Tillerson apparently called the president a moron?
I think it's a bit of all of the above, right? Pompeo has been very good at, Trump may say that he's an outsider to politics, but it's been the politicians who have succeeded within his cabinet. And Mike Pompeo, and went into the sort of the upper echelons of the Trump administration. Mike Pompeo has been very good at getting the president's ear, at aligning with the president, at presenting himself as a true Trump loyalist. The president named Iran as one issue on which they agree. They're both North Korea hawks. Pompeo has sort of echoed the president's line in saying, well, we're investigating interference from Russia, but, you know, there are a lot of other countries who could also be interfering, and we should be looking at them, too. So one, in terms of like playing the political game a bit better than Tillerson, and two, aligning himself more closely with Trump on policy issues. He's been, you know, more political and probably more outspoken than previous CIA chiefs have been.
Well, and Rex Tillerson had a checkered career as Secretary of State. There are many, for instance, openings, ambassadorships that have not been filled. How would you assess his year as Secretary of State?
The interesting thing about this is that on the one hand, State Department officials are not particularly sad to see Rex Tillerson go, right? Oh. His year was mostly characterized by, one, these rumors that he was out the door, two, his focus on State Department redesign, three, things just slowing down, people not trusting the career diplomats, positions not being filled, people leaving, the State Department being sidelined within the Trump administration. And you can say that is or isn't Tillerson's fault, but the reality is that people were not, that career diplomats, career bureaucrats within the State Department did not feel valued over this past year. Now, I'm sure Pompeo will have Trump's ear more than Tillerson had. Whether that means that those career diplomats and career bureaucrats and State Department officials who are currently saying, yeah, sure, Pompeo, whether that means they'll be more heard, I think that is still to be seen.
What has been the response from other countries?
So there's a mix. I think some are saying it's not a surprise. We've been hearing this for so long. Others are saying we have to wait and see what Pompeo's foreign policy is. I spoke to one person yesterday who I thought made a European diplomat who I thought made a very fair point, which is that there are three things here, right? One, we now know when they're saying, when we speak to the State Department, at least now we'll know we're also hearing the White House line, the Trump line, which we couldn't be sure of before. And I've heard this from others as well. The second point he said was, you know, Tillerson really was not clearly effectively managing the State Department. Perhaps Pompeo will be better. He said, but the third thing we have to look at is the foreign policy. And that's, to him, that was sort of the unknown. So I think the consensus on Embassy Row yesterday was, well, this isn't a huge surprise. We've been hearing about this. Where this takes U.S. foreign policy, maybe that we're not so comfortable with, particularly because Pompeo is such a hawk on Iran, which will affect not only the U.S. position toward Iran, but also toward those allies with whom it signed the JCPOA, right, the Iran nuclear deal. And well, that impacts the upcoming North Korea talks, right, because North Korea can look at that and say, well, if you didn't honor that deal with Iran, what does that mean for the future of our dialogue?
Let me read a couple of comments. One from Billy. He says, is it wise to put the director of the CIA in charge of the State Department when the whole world seems paranoid that every American journalist, athlete and diplomat is a secret CIA spy? Emily Tamkin, what are your thoughts about that?
That's interesting. I heard a few comments like that yesterday. I think it's important to remember that Pompeo is not a career CIA operative. His replacement, Gina Haspel, is a career, has been there since 85, but Pompeo was not. So there are reasons that one could be wary of Pompeo, certainly his foreign policy, whether he's going to appease the president or sort of protect U.S. interests and principles. But that he is a longtime spy is just not, right. It's not true.
And I do want to talk about the woman tapped to head the CIA, but mm-hmm. Let me read another comment. This one from Mac. Setting aside the partisan politics, Director Pompeo seems to be more qualified than Secretary Tillerson. All he needs is an ambassador to China, and he pretty much matches President Bush's resume. Would you say that Pompeo is more qualified than Tillerson, who, of course, headed up ExxonMobil, but had never really had a diplomatic job?
Right. I'm not sure, with all due respect to that that individual, I'm not really sure where that person is getting that. He certainly has more political experience than Tillerson. But in terms of diplomatic experience or experience with foreign countries, I don't know that that's true. I think certainly the challenges, I would not boil the challenges down to one embassy in any country, right? There are so many, I think, between North Korea, Iran, a variety of other crises and the vast diplomatic shortage, is how I'll put it, around the world. I don't know that Pompeo is going to have such an easy time following Tillerson.
We were talking about the shakeup at the State Department with Emily Tamkin, staff writer at Foreign Policy. And you can join us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. So let's talk about Gina Haspel. This is the president's choice to head up the CIA. As you said, she's been a part of the CIA, I guess worked as a spy for a number of years. She's been there since the 1980s. She has some explaining to do, having to do with the rendition program. Help us understand this.
Yes. So in 2002, Haspel oversaw a secret prison site in Thailand where torture was carried out, right, where waterboarding happened. CIA veterans and some of her longtime supporters will say, well, that's not Gina. That's one incident that, you know, her role in that was overblown. But the reality remains that she was ultimately responsible for a site at which torture took place. And then 3 years later, in 2005, wrote the cable that said destroy the tapes that contained images of this torture. So I think in her confirmation process, you know, obviously Senator McCain, who was himself tortured, already came out with a strong statement. Democrats have come out. I think that the U.S. legacy in the years, what the U.S. did in the immediate aftermath of 9/11 is something that's still very seriously considered by the rest of the world as part of America's legacy. I don't know whether or not this will block her confirmation, and I think she'll probably keep a lower profile, excuse me, than Pompeo, the CIA director, in any event. But, you know, if longtime CIA staffers want to say that was no big thing, that's certainly their prerogative. But overseeing torture, indeed, is in many minds quite a big thing.
Well, it seems that she will be asked about that. No, at one point when Donald Trump was running for president, he seemed to support torture. Where does he stand now? Do we know?
We don't. Well, so as far as I know, he hasn't, you know, in his heart and mind changed that position. Secretary Mattis has explained to him that is not an effective strategy or one that he would recommend using. So I think he, whether or not he, you know, has sort of changed course or changed his deep-seated belief, I don't know. But he does have someone in there sort of holding him in check on that issue.
Do you see Pompeo having problems getting confirmed?
I think Pompeo will get confirmed.
Because
I'm always hesitant to read the tea leaves or make a prediction because you could so easily be wrong. But I do think that ultimately, especially the Republicans will come around to support him. I think there's still this idea in Washington that we need to come together to support the institutions, mm-hmm. Even in these extraordinary times. Which is why I ultimately think that he will become the next Secretary of State.
And do we know what Rex Tillerson will be doing?
I think he's going home to his home to whence he came. I would expect him to keep a low profile. He certainly did as Secretary of State.
And again, that's Emily Tamkin. She's staff writer at Foreign Policy, talking about a number of foreign policy issues, including the shakeup at the the State Department. I'm Marty Moscowen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. Emily, let's talk a bit about whatever sit-down President Trump is going to have with the head of North Korea. What do we know so far? Obviously, he's agreed to something, but do we know what that something is?
No, not exactly. We know that he's agreed to meet with Kim Jong-un. We don't know exactly where or when that will take place. We know that the process by which this sort of came to be was quite quick. We know that the State Department was not a part of that. We know that the last sort of envoy to North Korea recently retired. We know that there's no ambassador to South Korea. And we know that it does not appear that Japan was part of the immediate discussion or agreement, although Prime Minister Abe has since said, yes, we support this meeting, and indeed has sort of tried to set up a dialogue of his own.
But obviously someone needs to be laying the groundwork. Is that the job of the State Department?
Typically, yes, that is the job of the State Department. In this case, in this administration, it doesn't seem that they were the ones who put this in motion at all, or indeed that there are people there who are longtime Korea experts who will be part of that process. So exactly now, perhaps with Pompeo in as sort of a more trusted advisor, the State Department will play a larger role. Whether those people will be carrying out positions backed up by their longstanding you know, by their background and experience, that is still unclear.
Do we know about the fate for H.R. McMaster?
We don't. He's there are rumors again that kicked back up yesterday that he is on his way out. When asked about it, he pointed out that he is still here. But again, as our European diplomat told us, you need to yesterday just shows us to pay heed to rumors in Washington.
And I guess follow those tweets and take them seriously. Emily, we're almost out of time here, but I was reading that there was a kind of contentious relationship between UN Ambassador Nikki Haley and Rex Tillerson.
Yes, I would highly recommend your listeners to read my coworker, my colleague, Colin Lynch's profile on Nikki Haley, which opens up with her not putting up Tillerson's portrait in the lobby of the U.S. mission to the U.N. Yeah, she and Tillerson had a contentious relationship. She, in wanting to be treated cabinet level, did not always bring him into discussions, and indeed yesterday sent out a tweet congratulating the president on making Pompeo presumably the next Secretary of State.
And I guess Pompeo's portrait will be put up somewhere.
Well, yeah, time will tell if the true test of Haley's fealty is passed with a portrait in the U.S. mission to the U.N. lobby.
Well, on that note, Emily Temkin, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. And again, she is staff writer at Foreign Policy. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out more about the program. You can also send us an email, and you can also download a podcast of the program. Adam Staniszewski, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Trinae Nuri. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thank you for joining us.